Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
For those of you who are just visiting or been coming around just a little bit, we've been in a series for a while now called Love One Another Deeply. And what we're going after is, what would it look like if we actually put into practice the 200 verses in the New Testament, whatever the number is, the 200 verses in the New Testament that talk about how we're supposed to love one another. What would it look like if we actually did it? What would things feel like? What would the culture of the church be? What would the culture of this congregation be? What would the garden of your own heart look and feel like if we were actually living out all these verses that talk about loving one another deeply? And there's a ton. And as we've been kind of on this journey, it's been convicting, it's been encouraging, it gives hope of where we could be. It really challenges. I feel like I've been probably more challenged in this series than maybe any of them that we've done. And we've done one on supernatural power, and while I'm not operating in a lot of that, I didn't feel near the conviction that I am operating in this one just to be nice to you. And so, man, it's really powerful and convicting. This session is entitled The Power of Love. And what we're going to look at is, in this session today, we're going to be looking at love, not just as a good idea, not just as a command in the kingdom, but as a supernatural power that we have access to within us that we can be operating in. I was thinking about this and just kind of, you know, getting ready for this message and kind of doing a little bit of self-survey. Which, if you really, really want to grow in God, do a series teaching on this subject, because you will be so challenged and find every dark spot in your soul. It's really, really good for you, but only if you like to cry. And so, as I've been kind of processing and, you know, getting ready for today's message, just thinking about this the power of love, I was thinking about it as like this, you know, you've got the gifts of the Spirit that when they're in operation, they really accomplish powerful things that you can see a manifestation. You can see something shift. If you lay hands on somebody and say, in the name of Jesus, and they get healed, it's like a powerful moment. You look like, dang, that person was sick a minute ago, and now they're not. God is real. God just moved. And I was thinking about the way we can use love to have the same exact impact, the same power, the same Holy Spirit whoa moment, the same transformation in a heart, or maybe even greater, to be thinking about love as a superpower that we have access to, that perhaps is lying dormant, that perhaps we're aware of, but we barely touch. Because I can think of a few times where I've loved well, and it made profound impact on a life. Thinking about a few times where I did this thing. I gave that extra, and it touched somebody in a way that was deep, that healed their heart, that set them free from a lifetime of lies they believed, that was such a powerful healing in their inner man, not the outward healing, but an inward healing. Think of those few times where this has been in operation in a real way that actually changed somebody's life. And sometimes it was because of what had been done steadily over time. Sometimes it was because of a lavish moment, either a gift or a moment of sacrifice or something that was momentary. So it could happen either way. It could happen momentarily or it could happen steady, you know, over the course of time, just being faithful to do that one little nice thing for that person day after week after month after whatever. Just the impact that has. Okay, I'm going to share a dumb story. I hope it touches somebody. I don't know. I'm trying to get better at, like, just following the little nudges, even if I don't want to do it. And this one seems self-serving, so I don't want to do it. But I, anyway. So I had the funniest thing happen. I was driving through the Starbucks line. This was maybe, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, something like that. It was right after Thanksgiving. And I get up to the drive-through window, and I'm trying to pay. And all of a sudden, the baristas all just start one after another, kind of lining up at the window. Oh, hey, Brad. It was really kind of a weird moment. And And then all of a sudden, after there's like 8 or 9 of them all huddled around the window, they reach out of the window and they hand me a Starbucks tumbler cup thing and a card. And they said, "Brad, you're our favorite customer. And every time you drive through the line, you bring us so much joy. And it's just so fun. We were just thinking about you." And so we did a Thanksgiving party and we all tried your drink. And the drink is horrible. It's like, I'm doing it because I'm like trying to lose weight and it helps. Anyway, it's a really horrible drink. And I was thinking, these poor people all tried this dumb drink. And they wrote me a card. And every one of them signed on there, like a personal note. And I was like, "Oh my gosh, who are you people?" And they gave me a picture of them all holding up like little, like, I don't know, Dixie cup versions of my drink. And they're holding up, they're all drinking, and they're like, they just like said all this stuff, and I was like, "Okay, I'm gonna leave now. Goodbye." And anyway, it was really weird. So anyway, I read the notes later and I was really touched by it. But here's the thing I was thinking about, really, in all honesty. I thought, these poor people. If I'm their best customer, I'm their favorite, they deal with devils all day long. Because I don't do anything out of the ordinary. I don't ever bring them anything. I don't have any original jokes. I say the same thing every time, like, "Good morning, Starbucks." And then I go through the drive-through and I say hi and I get my drink and I leave. And not only that, the drink I order is criminal because I know I'm cheating them. Like, I know they're giving me too much for as little as I give them. Like, if I'm your your lives are abysmal. Like, we need to be doing things for you. Maybe we need to get the whole church to go do something actually nice for them. Here's my point. There's something about a consistent cheerfulness that can wind up impacting people's life. I mean, these poor souls, they really are dealing with angry customers all day, and I'm just not that way. And I, even when I'm in a bad mood, I recognize these people get treated like trash a lot, so I'm going to try to be nice. And that try to be nice really doesn't come across so extra. It's really just, "Hey, how are you doing today?" Just really simple. But here's the point that I'm making with that. That consistent, simple, just being nice got me customer of the year or whatever. The bar's real low here, people. The bar is real low. If we're actually intentional to show love, it is powerful on people's hearts. It is powerful. I read some of their notes and I was like, I can't believe how just not being mean has impacted these people. I'm like, this is just crazy. So it really was a picture to me of the power of love. If whatever I was doing was operating at like a 0.5, I wouldn't even call it a 1. Like, what would a 5 or a 9 do on a scale of 1 to 10? There is power that we have by the Holy Spirit living in us, that when we express the love of God, when we express love, it has power on human hearts. All right, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity." So we know that. But he did give us a spirit of some stuff. Let's look at the list of the stuff. He did give us a spirit of power and a spirit of love. Also of self-discipline, but this morning I want to focus on a spirit of power and a spirit of love. So some of you might go, "Well, being loving isn't really my thing. You know, I'm an introvert. I don't like to, you know, be expressive outwardly of love or whatever." Find a way, because what the word says is you have been given a spirit of power that's inside of you and a spirit of love. And I would even say a spirit of love, which is powerful. You have been given this. It's inside of you. We need to get kind of in touch with our inner self, like the inner self called the Holy Spirit, because he's in there and he's a spirit of power and he's a spirit of love and he desires to show expression. I mean, why would God give us his spirit and then list out some ways that that spirit is titled, the way that that spirit manifests, spirit of love, spirit of power? Why would God give us his spirit if it's only to lie dormant within us and never show expression? It doesn't make any sense. Bragging rights? I got a spirit inside of me. What do you got inside of you? All kinds of stuff. Lunch. The Holy Spirit doesn't want us to have bragging rights. The Holy Spirit wants us to have access to power. And I'm thinking about that power in relationship to my dumb little analogy at the drive-thru. And it's like, there is something that we have access to on our inside that if we'll learn to hone, to tap into, to use on purpose, that we can actually operate in real power that transforms lives, that actually impacts people in a significant way. I want to look at Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. It's a passage a lot of us know. But I think that most of the time when we read Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, if I can be honest, I think we mostly think about how it impacts us. And I don't think that we've seen the language that Paul wrote into Ephesians 3 about how it impacts others. And so I want to kind of take a fresh look at Ephesians 3. And if you're like, I didn't even know Ephesians had three chapters. Well, that's fine. You just kind of track with us. You'll be fine. All right, Ephesians 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches. So wait, just real quick. This is Paul saying, I'm praying for you because I recognize if I pray for you, stuff will happen to you that won't happen if I don't pray. And I'm praying for you out of God's giant bucket of power and possibility, his glorious riches, that God has all the goods. I'm praying that out of that giant capacity that God has, that the following would happen, that he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That God would use all the best of what he has to make you stronger in your inner being. Well, wait, that's that verse we just read in 2 Timothy, that God gave us a spirit of power and a spirit of love. Yeah, it's that spirit inside of you that he wants to strengthen, okay? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power. I pray that you would have power. Power to do what? Power together with all the saints. To do what? To grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. I pray you would have power to be in touch with the love that's inside of you and the power that it has in your life. I pray that you would have power to grasp that. That you would have power to operate in that. I pray that you would have a grace, not by yourself, but together with all the saints, corporately, that you would operate in that power. And I'm praying that you would do it. This is Paul to the Ephesians. So that you may be filled to the, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. All right, let's break this down a little bit. There's a lot of, this is thick language here. All right, so that we would be strengthened by God. I think all of us want that. All of us want that. We look at the moments where we feel weak to resist sin. We look at the moments where we feel prone to desire things that are not necessarily sinful. It's just not great for us. We want to be strengthened in our inner man because when we feel the strength of God, we can say yes to stuff we can't say yes to without it. There are times probably in all of our lives where we've operated at kind of a next level, at least for a minute, where we were able to do something, say something, think clearly, where we were operating in a strength that wasn't our own. Well, Paul says we can have access to this on the regular, that we can be a people that actually can be strengthened by God in our inner man all the time, or at least frequently. And Paul's praying that this will be the case. I want to be strengthened like that. I need that. I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I don't want to lean on my own strength. It's pretty weak. When I look at my strongest day, and then I look at what happens when God moves through me, it's like, man, I'll take that all day long. My strength is just, it is not much at all. But it's learning to have this strengthening of God in our inner man. But in this passage, Paul isn't talking about us being strengthened specifically so we can resist sin or specifically so we can be a superhero in some aspect or another. He's saying, I want you to be strong so you can feel God's love more and reflect God's love more. I want for you to have the power to grasp this love and to know it and to be in it, feel it, and flow in it, not just so that you feel it, but that you express it to others. And this isn't the first time that we've seen this. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and we'll probably wind up coming back to that verse, Cherish, so just kind of get ready. But 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says similarly, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. I want to focus on that. Make your love increase and overflow for each other. Paul is, he's writing to the Thessalonians and he says, I like you guys and I want to help you. Let me tell you what would be best for your congregation, because I pray it for you all the time. May the Lord make your love increase. It's like, may the Lord be so kind as to take you out of the equation, and now it's involuntary. Make your love. It's not like subtly grow, encourage your heart to say yes. Oh, I pray God makes you do stuff because you guys need it. I pray God makes your love increase and overflow. What a beautiful picture of what we want going on in our lives, in this church, in the midst of this series. God, would you make your love and make my love increase, and then not just increase for myself, but overflow for others. What a picture that we would be those that have got a bucket that is so filled. It's the love bucket. We're all feeling all ooey gooey and gushy about Jesus. And it's so filled that it's increasing, and then it's overflowing so that others are being touched by that. There's power in this. There's power in it when God does it to us. There's power in it when God does it in us that we're feeling it and it's growing. There's power in it when it grows and it starts to overflow. There's the power of God flowing, I mean, him to us, internal, and then us to others. This is powerful. This is transformative. I just think about whatever version of a human being that would be living all this stuff out that we're reading right now, living it out at 100%. Pretend that a person was able to do that. Just kind of imagine that movie that's going to be made one day, okay? Be a Hallmark movie, I guarantee you. Okay, so the person that's able to operate in all this and feel all the ooey gooey and then overflow, and they do it at 100%, and they get fired from their job. They're probably pretty much untouched. There's too much going on in the inside. You know, they stub their toe. They get sick. They have this happen. There's family troubles. The neighbor's mad. I mean, all the bad circumstantial things, traffic jam. It's like, yeah, but I mean, it's a traffic jam, but I'm operating with love increasing and overflowing at 100%. So I bless you, traffic jam. I bless you, person that doesn't know how to drive. You ran right into that other car, didn't you? You did that just to give me the opportunity to use the fruit of the Spirit today. Bless your heart. As we're having that love increase and overflow, it completely changes our life. Oh, I don't want to be touched by the ick and the pain. I can't avoid the fact that it's going to come. I'm stuck. I'm on earth. I mean, here it is. It's going to be bad. Just settle up. You know, that's kind of how it's going to be. But I don't want it to touch me. I don't want to be subjected. I don't want my days to be defined by my circumstances, but rather by love increasing in my heart and then overflowing onto you. Oh, what a better way to live. Doesn't that just sound like a better way, a better existence, like a better version of Monday through Monday? Man, like I'm challenged by that. It's beautiful. Okay, so go back to that Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. When his love increases in our hearts, when we are rooted and established in this love, this actually equals Christ dwelling in our hearts. I don't know if you caught that. Let's find it in there. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Oh, what if we have this picture of Jesus dwelling and abiding, having himself a tea party somewhere all up in your innards, okay? He's in your guts and he's happy, all right? And he's in there related to our ability to be strengthened by his love, and the degree of that tea party is defined by our willingness and our yieldedness to him strengthening us in our inner man. And if we're not being strengthened in our inner man, related to this whole conversation of love, that it actually impacts the way that Christ interacts in our hearts. Check that out. Let me read it again. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through your spirit and your inner being. And we know by the context of the passage, it's all about him strengthening and growing love in our hearts. A love that comes into us, increases, and overflows onto others. That's what he's talking about when he says strengthen you in your inner being. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Oh, I want the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit increases with our yieldedness to this power of God's love in our lives. I can remember pretty easily how when I came into the kingdom and I became a believer, I was so about me and my preferences, my personality, my expression. I was just so set on certain things that I really was like, I'm going to do it my way and still have Jesus. Things are going to go this way. This is how I like it. There were so many things, and the Lord is still working those things out of me. But man, a few of you knew me then. So there was just so much that was just so set and unyielding and unmovable. And my life wasn't about growing in love. It was mostly about me trying to get my way. And I had so little fellowship with the Holy Spirit. But as I've grown more in love, letting his love abound in me, and I'm trying to work on letting that love have an overflow of expression, I feel God's presence way more. I feel him abounding and abiding in my heart. I feel that him dwelling in my heart through faith. I feel it. It is a better feeling. It is an infinitely better feeling that just in the quietness of your soul that you go, oh, I feel your presence. It's significantly connected to how yielded we are to this subject of feeling of allowing God's love to be poured into us and reflecting that love onto others. Significant connection. We want to be rooted in this love. I think a good maybe starting point, especially for those of you that aren't super familiar with Ephesians 3, this passage that we've been reading, or aren't super familiar with its impact on how we relate to each other. We've mostly been thinking about, oh yeah, God, pour your love into me, mine, I want your love. But just keep it in my container. If that's mostly been our perspective, which it's been mine for most of, you know, my adult life, we want to be rooted in this passage, get the idea, get the understanding of what it is that when we're rooted in this love, it changes things on our insides, actually helps us to be able to express love to others. You know, we're doing this series on loving one another deeply, and I can't think of too many passages that better describe it than what we're reading here in Ephesians 3. Paul says also that you'd have power to grasp together. I just love that you would have power together with all the saints. Think about the corporate ramifications there. That if you're on this journey to learn how to love, but you're not on this journey with others, we're missing completely the fullness of what God is trying to accomplish. But as a congregation, we're trying right now, doing this long series on love, we're trying to go together, that we would grasp together, that we would be having a corporate revelation of what God is trying to do in us, and then asking him for that help that we could move forward. And that the way that Paul ends it, he says, this version of love, grasping this together, is the only way to fullness, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We can't experience the fullness of what God wants for us without us going on the journey of learning to love. Well, let's talk a little bit about this power and how it impacts, because this is some of the exciting stuff. When that power touches others, so when we do it right, when the love of God, we are being intentional to utilize that love that God's given us as a superpower to touch other people, let's talk about what happens in their hearts. Let's look at that a little bit. Let's look at Colossians 4. We've also got Proverbs 18 and Proverbs 15:1. They all kind of talk about the same thing, or at least the same vein here. The power of our words. We have to own this. Like, we can't escape this. I don't like to think about this. I really don't, because of how often I can wind up saying something that is unhelpful. But we have got to own, let's read that, Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Either way, those who love to use the tongue to give life will do that a lot and see the benefit of it. Those who are not careful and are saying things without thinking about the impact that they have on other people, they'll do that a lot too, and they'll experience the fruit of that. There is power in the tongue of life and death. I'm thinking about the way that we interact with one another and how easy it is to be careless in our words. And when we're careless, the problem is we just imparted death and we weren't even thinking of it. I'm having a bad day. It's like, your bad day imparted death, says Proverbs. I don't want to impart death. Ever. I do not want that on my record. Brad, remember when you imparted death? When? Oh, you know, all billion times you opened your mouth, son. Hey, I'll say it this way, and this is one that, like, this is a good check. If you're not careful to impart life, you're probably imparting death. And we talk a lot. Not this verse specifically, but certainly this idea as we've been doing this series. It's caused me so many times, I'm about to say something and I'm just like, nope, don't even open your mouth. That would not help anything. You'll probably wind up imparting death. Just start thinking about what color the words are in the spirit as they come out of your mouth. Are they white and fluffy and musical notes? Or is it like black and red with knives? It's coming out of your mouth. Like, our tongue is powerful. It's powerful in the way that we speak to each other at home, powerful in the way that we interact with each other. There's power. It's power to love or not. Power to love or unlove. There's power in our tongue. And I'm thinking about this in relationship to the way that we interact in this series, and it's like there is power in our words, and we can use words to uplift, to strengthen, to benefit, to take somebody forward in their walk with God, to help brighten their day 1%. We can use our words. There's power. God's given us power to love. We have the Spirit of God living in us, a spirit of power and a spirit of love, that when we use our tongue to express love, even in our weakness, we can change the course of a person's life or at least a person's day. We have power in our tongue. This is a really big deal. Look at Colossians 4:6. Let your conversation be always filled with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everybody. Oh my gosh. The word always is in there. That's the kicker. It doesn't say, let your conversation be filled with grace. It says always. Always filled with grace, that your words, that you'd use your tongue to impart grace and love and exhortation. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The ability that we have with our words to completely pivot a situation. Someone comes at you hard charging, angry. It is our most natural human inclination to respond back with anger and strength and resistance. But a gentle answer will turn them away from wrath. You will show them love. You will help them get to a place in their heart that is good with Jesus faster, so that they can get back to fellowshipping with God. If you will give them a gentle answer instead of a harsh reply, a gentle answer. There's power in our tongue. There's power to show love. Oh my gosh. James 3:2 also says, we stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man able to keep his whole body in check. Like, if we can learn to use our words only to express love, only to show love. James, he's the other guy. He says, we'll be a perfect human being. Of course, he knows, good luck. But I mean, the closer that we get to that, the more reality of this perfection and the way that we're living, because it touches everything. I mean, if you could just not say stupid stuff, if you could just only say loving and kind words, think about how many problems that would fix in your life. How many relationships that would mend, how many circumstances you wouldn't fuel, because you're only going to say loving stuff. And whenever you fuel a conversation that's going a wrong direction, both of you feel it. And it's kind of, your flesh is on fire. And, you know, I've never personally been on fire before, but I've heard if you're on fire, you ought to put that out. Stop, drop, and roll or something. I think that's what they taught the kids. So, like, but every time we fuel a conversation in negativity, that's what's happening. There is power on our words, power to express love. Power of truth. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. John is not saying that we shouldn't love with words and speech only. Or rather, he's not saying that those don't have value. He's just saying it's not enough that we do that only. That we've got to learn to love in actions and in truth. We'll look at the actions thing in just a second. But to love in truth, this is a deep one. To love in truth. So a minute ago we were talking about loving with our words. Now we're talking about loving with truth. Well, part of that is when we think about the term, you know, being loving to one another, we're thinking only saying niceties, nice things. But do you know that it is just as much love to correct someone as it is to pat them on the back? I mean, you've got to figure out the balance. You can't walk around being, you know, Mr. Corrector. That's a weird superpower if you're that guy. But it's just as loving to express truth, to tell someone, hey, this thing that you're doing or thinking or believing, it's actually not real. Let me give you the truth. Let me present this to you, hopefully in a way that is receivable, but let me give you the truth. You need the truth. It will help you tremendously. But to do that, that's love. It's loving that we would show one another the truth. It's also loving that we would have right motives. Think about how easy it is, if you've ever been plastic, ever in your life, how easy it is to say something and not have any feeling behind it whatsoever. It's like, I'm saying the right thing because it's the right thing to say, and buddy, you just better deal with that. That's all we got today. But there's something different than when there's truth behind it, that the motives are true, that the motives are in agreement with what's being said. There's something powerful about that, and I think that's part of what John's after here. He's like, let's not just say the words. Let's say the words in truth. Let's say the words with love backing it. That there is something about that, that we would love each other in truth. And part of the reason I'm saying this today is because some of you need to hear, you know what, man, there's somebody in my life that really, if I love them, I need to love them by telling them the truth. And there's some of you in this room today that are the person that needs to be told. And so I'm trying to help your friend kind of buffer, you know, buffer the blow a little bit. Get ready. Because you might need to hear that truth. And it's actually them expressing love. What about our deeds? Same verse. Not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. We want to have actions that back up what we're saying. We want to have actions that express love. And guys, this is as small as a smile and as big as a lavish whatever, you know, pamper day. I don't know. Whatever would be big. It's a big scale. So it's not like the only things that count are whatever and whatever. Expressing actions. Like we know the age-old whatever, that actions speak louder than words, but it's real. We need the words too, but we've got to be a people that, as we're doing this whole love each other deeply, let's just recognize it's not going to be enough for it to be purely verbal. We're going to need to express love. There's going to need to be those moments where we do a solid for somebody, where we go out of our way, where we help, where there's going to have to be actions. If we say we love each other, that love must be supported by actions at some level. And again, actions, there's like a million of them. They don't all have to be the big thing. And so some of you, your love language is whatever, acts of service. And it's like you want to see the level 10 act of service, but you've got to be able to receive the level 1 act of service too. And some of us, it's like, I hate acts of service. I never want to do ever. Like we need to grow from 1 to kind of uptick a little. This is the Lord inviting all of us into the same conversation, that we would be growing in acts of love, not just words about it. Be thinking about that. What does an act of love look like? And it's so contextual, because to one person you do this act of love and it's their favorite thing ever. And you do the same thing to another person, and they're like, you hate me? What's wrong with you? It's like, ah, dang. I tried. Well, your motive was good. Your action was trash. It's like, we got to work on it. And this is all part of the way that we grow together, and we learn to love one another and have grace on one another. That whole let your conversations be filled with grace, that we would have grace for each other, but that we're reaching for not just words, but for actions that reflect that love as well. How about the power of compassion? So we've looked at the power of words, power of deeds, power of truth. How about the power of compassion as an expression of love? This is not our nature. There are a couple people that are super compassionate, and I'm so grateful that the Lord gave us like 3 of them on the planet so that we could see their example and go, oh, Jesus, how far am I? But for the most of us, compassion is not our natural overflow, but it is his nature. Look at this, 1 Peter 3 and Exodus 34. I'm actually going to read the 34 first. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love and faithfulness. The Lord declaring who he is. He says, you want to know who I am? This is who I am and this is what I'm like. I am compassionate. First words out of his mouth. I mean, right out of the chute, he says, I am compassionate. Wink, wink, therefore, what might you strive for? That we would be compassionate. 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, and be compassionate and humble. That we would be compassionate. I was thinking about compassion, and I'm not the best, on this. I don't even have words to fumbling over my words on this. But I was thinking about compassion, and I was like, I think an angle, a way to get there is to do the whole put yourselves in their shoes thing. So think about the moment. Whatever person you really don't want to have compassion on. So think about, it's probably very easy to think of someone you don't want to have compassion on. Okay? So just think of who that is. All right? And for half a second, think about how messed up they are, okay? But don't think about it for a full second, because then you'll wind up off track and down a dirty road. Now that you've thought about it for half a second, pretend it's you. Oh no, I'm the dirty one. If you're the dirty one, the bad one, the dumb one, the sad one, the slow one, the whatever one, whatever it is that is now making you not want to be compassionate to that person, imagine you're that person and ask yourself the question, if I were that person, how would I want to be treated? How would I want someone to treat me? I guarantee you, you would not want to be treated the way that you're contemplating treating them. Right? I'm like, I think this maybe can help some of us that aren't particularly compassionate get there. Like to start go, if I were having a bad day, week, month, decade, I would want someone to be compassionate with me and maybe try to help me out of my problem instead of telling me I'm a jerk. And Peter says, yeah, be like God. Be sympathetic, be compassionate. This is an expression of love. I can tell you this. There have been a few times where I totally didn't deserve compassion. Been a lot of times. There have been a few times where I didn't deserve compassion and I got it. How about that? And I was so thankful. I felt so loved, so taken care of, so empowered to maybe fix the problem. Maybe. But whenever I'm in one of those moments where I don't deserve compassion and I am not given compassion, I don't feel any more able to make a shift. I don't feel any more empowered. But love is powerful. Love has the power to shift a heart, shift. It's got power. I'm gonna leave you with this final verse. Above all, love each other deeply, because if you'll do that, that act will be powerful. Love covers over a multitude of sins. This is so layered in its implication, but I'm just going to give you two just simple touch points. You can struggle with the theology of this on your own. My objective today isn't to prove this. I'd rather just say it and let you be bothered and go home and deal with it. Peter says, above all, listen, you guys have got to pay attention. I've been teaching you all these different things. Let me tell you what it gets down to. Love each other deeply. You've got to do it. And when you do, recognize it covers over a multitude of sins. It covers over their sins, and it covers over your sins, and not just one or two. It has power to cover over a multitude of sins. When you will love one another deeply, there is power on it. I want to operate in the power. I want to feel it. I want it flowing through me. I want to have it. If I'm a conduit, then before it got to you, it had to come through me, meaning I got to feel it. I want to operate in this love. I want to flow in this because there's power. And when that power flows, it has impact even on our sin nature. It has impact on the decisions that we made. Just think about it in this simple way. The person that has been in sin and you show them great love, are they more likely 5 minutes later to go sin or more likely 5 minutes later to praise Jesus? Just think about that. We have power in our words, in our actions. We have the Spirit of God, which is powerful within us. He's a spirit of power, and he's a spirit of love that we have access to make impact in the lives of the people around us. And we've been commanded to grow together, to learn together to go on this journey.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.